Chapter 13. Wanting to Live. That night, I slept next to my mother's starved body. My beautiful mother. I would never see her smile again, or feel her arms around me. I kept thinking about dying. Was it harder to die, or more difficult to stay alive? Was staying alive my punishment? I was 16 years old, and in Siberia, with no mother or father. But I knew that I wanted to live. I wanted to see my brother become an adult, and I wanted to see Lithuania again. I wanted to paint in the fields, and I wanted to see Andrews with my drawings. I wanted to live. After work, Jonas helped the gray-haired man make a coffin while Miss Grebus and I dressed my mother. "Is there anything in her suitcase?" asked Miss Grebus. "I don't think so," I said. I was wrong. Inside were fresh, clean clothes for her and a man's shirt. I began to cry. She had kept these clothes to return to Lithuania.
"She really thought that you would all return home," Miss Grebus said, her hand to her mouth.
Under the clothes was a small piece of paper. It was an address in Biberach, Germany. "That must be where my cousin is," I said.
"Yes, but you mustn't write to that address," said Miss Grebus. "It's dangerous."
Later that evening, Jonas and I stole shovels from outside of the NKVD building. "We have to bury her somewhere that we'll remember," I told him, "because we're taking her body back to Lithuania with us." We walked to a little hill near the sea. "We'll remember this," I said. We worked all night, digging as deep as we could. In the morning, Janina, Miss Grebus, and the gray-haired man arrived to help. Even the bald man came to dig. Then we carried the coffin out of the hut and walked slowly through the snow toward the hill. As we passed the NKVD building, we saw Kretzky standing outside and talking with the other officers. He saw us and stopped talking. I looked ahead and walked toward the freezing hole in the ground. Two nights after we buried Mother, there was another storm. We had to keep warm, so I went to the NKVD building to try to steal some wood. When I arrived, there was a man in a long coat standing in the shadows.
"Who's there?" the man shouted. "Group number 11, I said.
The man moved closer.
"Vilkas?"
It was Kretzky.
"Stealing?" he said, while drinking from a bottle of beer.
I said nothing.
"Nobody wants you to draw them," he said, "so I can't help you this time."
"I don't want to draw for you," I said.
"Why not?" he said. "It kept you warm, and you got some food."
I turned to leave.
"Your mother," he said.
I stopped.
"She was a good woman," he said. "She was beautiful. She was красивая."
No, not that word. I was supposed to learn that word by myself, and not from Kretzky.
"It means beautiful, but strong," he said. "Unique."
I couldn't look at him.
I wanted to hit him with the wood.
You hate me?
He laughed. Why did my mother like him? She said that he had helped her.
I hate me too,
he said.
I know about your drawings. I've seen them all. My mother was an artist too. But she's with your mother now. Dead.
I'm sorry, I said by accident. Why did I say that? I did not care.
You're sorry,
he said and laughed again, not believing me.
My mother was Polish and died when I was 5. My father is Russian, and he married another Russian just a year later.
He took another drink from his bottle.
Do you want to steal the wood?
He said, opening his arms.
Steal the wood! Davai!
My eyes and ears burned from the cold as I walked toward the wood.
The woman my father married, she hates me too. She hates Polish people,
he said. He was crying now. I wanted to take the wood and go back to the hut, but I could not. I walked toward him. What was I doing?
Nikolai,
I said. He didn't look at me, so I stood there, quietly. I'm sorry, I said, putting my hand on his shoulder. We stood there saying nothing. Then I turned to leave.
Vilkas,
he said finally.
I'm sorry for your mother.
I told nobody what had happened. And the next day, Kretzky was gone. A month later, Jonas was sick again, and the scurvy marks had reappeared on his stomach. Janina was also showing signs of scurvy, and after a few days, she stopped speaking.
There are no tomatoes this time, said Jonas, shaking his head. Andrews isn't here.
I grabbed my brother by the shoulders. Jonas, listen to me. We are going to live. Do you hear me? We're going home. We're not going to die. We're going home to our house, and we're going to sleep in our beds.
How will we live alone, without mother and father?
He asked. Auntie and uncle, and Joanna, they'll help, I said. Jonas nodded. Say it. Say, we're going home.
We're going home, repeated Jonas.
I hugged and kissed him. Here, I said, taking the stone from Andrews out of my pocket and holding it in front of Jonas. But he seemed confused and did not take it. I lay next to him, trying to keep him warm.
I'm so tired, Luna,
he said. When the storm ends, I'll search for some food, I said. Snow blew in around us. It could not end like this. I could not lose my brother, too.
I love you, I whispered to Jonas.
After the storm had passed, my arms and legs were frozen.
We have to work today, said Miss Grievous. We need rations and wood.
Yes,
agreed the bald man. I knew they were right, but I wasn't sure that I was strong enough. I looked at Janina. There were scurvy marks on her face and neck. Her nose was black from the cold. Then I looked at Jonas. He was lying completely still on the floor, with his mouth wide open. Suddenly, his eyes opened. "Jonas," I said, sitting up quickly. There was a loud noise outside, and I could hear voices and shouting. Then the door flew open, and a man came running inside. He was wearing a thick hat and normal clothes. He was not dressed like an officer. "Anybody sick in here?" he said in Russian. "Yes," said Miss Grievous. "We're sick, and we need help." "Please," I said. "My brother is very sick." The man walked toward Jonas and shouted something to the officers waiting outside. "Fish!" the man shouted. "This boy needs fish!" "I am Dr. Samadurov," the man said, looking at me. "What's your name?"
"Lena Vilkas."
"How old are you?"
16.
"I've been sent to inspect the camps," he explained. "I'm going to help you, but there are hundreds of sick and dead people."
"We can help," said Miss Grievous.
"What about you?" Dr. Samadurov said to the bald man. He had asked the wrong person. The bald man had never helped anybody.
"Yes, I will help," said the bald man. "But we need to help Jonas and Yanina first."
The doctor nodded. "Will the NKVD allow you to help us?" I asked the doctor.
"They have to. If they don't, then I will write a bad report about them."
That day, we had a bowl of soup and some fish. Dr. Samadurov then showed us how to keep fish fresh during the storms. He also brought coats and boots that helped us keep warm. After 10 days, he had to leave to help other people. I gave him all the letters that I had written to Andrews, and he said that he would send them.
"And your father?"
he asked. "He died in prison," I said.
"How do you know that?"
he asked. "An officer told my mother." Said the doctor, shaking his head.
"Do you think that he was lying?"
I asked quickly.
"Oh, I don't know, Lena. The officers often tell people that their family have died when it's not true."
I nodded and smiled.
"How did you find us?"
I asked him.
"Nikolai Kretsky,"
was all that the doctor said.